We're beginning the book of Zechariah again, and the book of Zechariah begins B'chodesh Hashmini. It was the eighth month, Bishnat Shittai Medaryavish. It was the second year of Darius, we had seen that on the 24th of the month, they started rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. So this prophecy is just before they started building. Meaning, the prophecy, as we saw, Rashi says, is a difficult prophecy to decipher. Rashi attributes the difficulties to the fact that some of his prophecies are dreams, and it's hard to figure out what he's saying until Mashiach comes. But I'll do my best, Rashi says. The Ramban in Doshat Torat Hashem Tmimah says that Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, their prophecies are different simply because they were on a lower level. They were the last prophets. And as the Talmud says, that in the period of the Second Temple, God removed His Shekhinah from us. We were on a lower level. And so, being that their prophecy was the concluding prophecies, so they were on a lower level, and perhaps that's why they're so hard to decipher. We'll begin. B'chodesh Hashemini, Bishnat Shetayim Lidayavesh. It was the eighth month, the second year of Darius. So we're holding the period of the beginning of the Second Temple. Hayad devar Adonai el Zechariah ben Berechiah ben Ido Hanavi leimor. The prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Ido, had the following prophecy. And we have a tradition that whenever a prophet is mentioned with his father's name, that means that he and his father were both prophets. So Zechariah is a prophet, the son of a prophet. And the Medrash says that his grandfather was a prophet as well. We have a prophet mentioned in Tanakh known as Ido the prophet, and that was Zechariah's grandfather. And so it's possible that the word Hanavi is not a reference to Zechariah, but rather to his grandfather Ido. God said the following prophecy to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Ido, Ido who was the prophet. Hanavi might be going on Ido, on the grandfather.
It's actually the way it's in grammatical. We don't have a comma or whatever they have it there, so it would be Ido the prophet.
Okay. So God tells him to tell the Jewish people the following. Katzaf Adonai alavoteichem katzef. God had a great anger against your parents. God destroyed their temple. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a product of God's anger. It was His payback for their behavior. So again, this is one of the key points. Whenever we witness things in our lives or in history, we have to realize they're a product of God's running the show. And so the first thing that the prophet is telling them is, remember the first destruction? It was a product of God's anger at you. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a question of politics. It wasn't a question of improper planning. Ve'amarta aleihem, ko amar Adonai Tzevaot, shuvu elai, ne'um Adonai Tzevaot, ve'ashuv aleihem, amar Adonai Tzevaot. And tell them nonetheless, I implore of you, return, shuvu elai, you return to me, v'ashuv aleichem, and I will return to you, I will return the Shekhinah to your midst. And this is forever the conversation we have with God. It's a continuing argument where God tells us, come back and I'll come back to you. And we say, no, you come back to us and then we'll come back to you. Ani ledodi v'dodi li or dodi li v'ani lo. It's like when a couple has an argument. Each one says, I'm willing to give in, but let them apologize. I'll apologize second. The truth is that Hashem always gives in. As much as we're belligerent children, so at some point Hashem says, okay, fine, how long could I be upset at you? And Hashem does give in, but Hashem asks of us to take that step. Shuvu Elai. God didn't do anything wrong. We're the ones that did wrong. So of course, we should be the ones taking the first step back. So Hashem says, although historically I destroyed your temple, I was upset at your fathers, but now I'm telling you, let's make amends and let's build from here on in. Hashem says, return to me and I will return to you. Al tiyu ka'avoteichem asher kareu aleichem hanevi'im harishonim leimor ko amar Adonai tzevaot shuvuna midarchichem haraim u'ma'alileichem haraim. Don't be like your forefathers that the earlier prophets called unto them and said to them in the name of God that Hashem is asking them to return from their sinful ways. Ve'lo shame'u, ve'lo ikshivu elai, ne'um Adonai. And they didn't listen. They weren't willing to accept what I said, says Hashem. So Hashem says, don't be like your predecessors. Look what it got them. That's what brought about the destruction. So learn from them. Don't be like them. They were punished with famine, they were punished with war, they were punished with pestilence. Don't be like them. So the Navi says, Avotechem, Ayehim. Where are your forefathers? Look at how they died. Look at their suffering. Take a look. Vehanevi'im hal olam yichyu. And if you'll tell me, well, so our parents died, so did the prophets die. So what difference does it make? That's the age-old question. Esav asked it of Yaakov. Esav said, "Hinei anochi olech lamut, v'lama ze li bechora." Esav said, "I'm going to die anyways. Tell me, if I'm a faithful servant of God, do I get exempt from death?" Oh, so you're going to die and I'm going to die. And so what difference does it make if I'm faithful to God or not? Everyone dies in the end. So Hashem says, that's not a claim. You'll tell me the prophets also died. So the God said, "What?" Well, God says, "What do you want? Halo lam yichu? You want me to give them eternal life?" But the truth is that they were right. The prophets. I warned you. If you don't repent, there'll be a destruction. You'll be exiled. Look, you didn't repent, and what the prophets said came true. My proof isn't the fact that your forefathers died so terribly. I'm just saying learn from that. But look, the prophets were obviously right. Your forefathers thought they'd get away with it, and you see they didn't. You'll tell me, but the prophets also died, right? I declared that there's death in the world. What do you want? Vanavim halo lam yichyu. Do you think the prophets should live forever? So that's something to remember. This pasuk seems to indicate that every person has an expiration date. Meaning it's a discussion in Talmud. Does a person die without sin? The Talmud says, "En mita belochet." There's no death without sin. Then the Talmud says, "Machlokes." Some say there were people who did not sin any sin that caused them to be deserving of death. They metu be'etyoshel nachash. The only reason they died is because God declared there should be death in the world because of the sin of the serpent. So that's a discussion in the Talmud. The pasuk seems to say, the prophets, what do you want? You want them to live forever? Everyone has to die. So the pasuk seems to say, there is death without sin. That's the simple reading of the pasuk.
Well, how is that, are we saying that the prophets had, like, when you say that they didn't have any sin worth dying, is that saying that they didn't have any sin, so there is no purpose for them to die because there was no sin? Or like, are you saying that, there's no sin severe enough?
So the simple reading of the Talmud is they had no sin. Rashi adds his footnote over there and says, no sin that was worthy of causing their death. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, that's Rashi's addition to the Gemara, meaning perfection that we definitely don't have.
Okay.
But perfection to the level where they didn't deserve death on their own, that's a machlokas in the Talmud.
Okay.
That, if I remember correctly, that's Rashi's addition to the Gemara. That's Rashi's interpretation there. Ach, devarai vechukai, asher tziviti et avadai hanevi'im, haloi sigu avoteichem. Hashem says, but look at my statutes, look at my warnings, but what I said, what I declared, what I decreed, Asher tziviti davadai anviim, that I commanded my prophets to prophesize, halo isigu avotechem, didn't they come true to your forefathers? Only your forefathers suffered the way my prophets warned them. Only they suffered at the hands of the enemies. The prophets did not. You see, Jeremiah was treated with glory, as was Mordechai, as were the other tzaddikim. The enemies, when they overtook Jerusalem, they severely punished the people who didn't listen to the prophets, including the king, Tzidkiyahu, whose own sons were slaughtered before his eyes. He was raped by the Nebuchadnezzar. His own eyes were gorged out after he saw that. But the prophets, they did not suffer. The Talmud discusses why. It's a Mishnah in Sota, in the first chapter of Sota. So the Navi says, if you want to question me, look at the history. Devarai v'chukai, what I warned, what I decreed, Asher tziviti tavadai anviim, that I commanded through my servants, the prophets, alo yisigu avotichem. Look, they did catch up with your forefathers. Vayashuvu vayomiru, kasher zaman, Adonai tzevaot lasot lanu, kidracheinu uchema alaleinu, kein asa itanu. Vayashuvu, and your forefathers themselves, they realized, Vayomeru, and they themselves declared, Kashel zaman Hashem tzvakot lasot lanu, just as God planned, just as God thought He would do unto us, Kidracheinu chemal aleinu, He paid us back an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and that is the way Hashem punishes people. Hashem purposely does things, midah keneged midah, as the Ramban explains in Torah Hashem Tmima, that the idea of punishing with midah keneged midah is so that a person will recognize that it's God's doing. If God let it just happen in any way at random, so then you'd say, well, maybe things happen in the world. Who says that's God? God purposely has things play themselves out in a way where you could see that it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and there's a similarity between the punishment and the sin, so that you can see that it's God doing it. So your own forefathers declared at the time of the destruction that Hashem punished them, kidracheinu chemal aleinu, they said God paid us back in accord with our own actions. Ken asaitanu, that's how Hashem paid us back, and they themselves recognized that they were being punished and not the prophets. That the prophets were getting away relatively clean from the suffering of the destruction. Beyo. Beyom eslim v'alba'ah la'ashtey asal chodesh u'chodesh shivat bishnat shetayim lidar yahavesh. It was the 24th of the 11th month, that's the month of Shvat, in that second year of the reign of Darius. Hayad devar Adonai el Zechariah ben Berechyahu ben Ido hanavi leimor. He had the following prophecy to tell the Jewish people, Ra'iti, Halayla, I saw tonight the following prophecy, V'hinei ish rochev al sus adom. There was a man, and this man is the angel Gabriel, often in Tanakh he is called the Ish. When Yosef meets up with a ish, v'inseu ish v'ine toev asadeh, that is again the prophet Gabriel. So, Chazal have all kinds of interpretations for this dream. But on the simple level, he says, I saw tonight, I saw the angel Gabriel, rochev al sus adom, riding a red horse. V'hu omed bin hahadasim asher bamitzula. And he was standing among the hadasim. Hadasim are myrtle branches. Yeah. So he was standing among the myrtle trees, the myrtle branches that were in the swamp. V'acharav susim adumim sirukim ulvanim. And behind him I saw masses of red horses and colored horses and white horses. So I see this man standing among the myrtle trees in the swamp, and behind him I see in a mass of red horses, colored and white. And he, of course, is riding his red horse.
So you translated, when you're saying color, this thing's translating as pale.
Saruk. So that's different interpretations, what saruk means.
Okay.
I went with one, that saruk means multiple colors. Rashi says he doesn't know what saruk is.
Okay. This is pale.
Right. Well, we have a term in the Talmud that a woman who wants her face to have color, she puts srak al panea. So the question is, what is that srak? Okay. So, it's unclear what color the srukim horses were.
I need to get some Talmudic advice from the women.
Well, the question again is, is that the outcome of what they did, in which their face would have more color? Or is that the actual chemical or whatever it was that they put on their face? So Rashi says he doesn't know, so I could be comfortable not knowing what the saruk horses were. There was some kind of color.
Mm-hmm.
Rashi interprets this, that the red horse that he's riding on is an allusion to the punishment that God is going to take down the Kasdim, that the Persian Mede Empire will overtake them. And that's the continuation of the prophecy. And so I said to the angel, what are these, my master? So the angel who's showing me this vision, I asked him, what am I seeing? And he said to me, I will show you what these are. Vayan ha'ish ha'omid bin adasim vayomar. And so the man standing among the myrtle branches, he raised his voice and he himself said. So it seems the simple understanding here is that there was an angel who was showing him the vision, and then there was the angel who was riding the horse. And he asked the angel said, I'll show you. And then the man riding on the horse, so the vision continues, and the man riding on the horse says, I will tell you. And what's he telling you? Meaning the man on the horse now is going to tell him. He asks the angel who's showing him the vision, he says, I'll show you. And so the man on the horse now the vision continues, so to speak, we push play. And the man on the horse calls out and says, Eile asher shalach Adonai lehitalech ba'aretz. These are the battalions that God sent to travel the land, to see how the nations are living in tranquility while God's people are suffering. Vayanu et malach Adonai haomed bein hadasim vayomeru hitalachnu va'aretz. So all these horses are supposed to travel throughout land. Each one has his time to travel the land. And then the angel who's riding on the horse waits to hear from them. And they come back and they say, we've traveled the land. And what we've seen is, V'hine chol ha'aretz yoshevet v'shokatet. Everyone's living in tranquility. All the nations seem to have their golden era, their time of peace and tranquility. So that's what we've seen. And here there's again a discussion, what is the prophecy referring to? One understanding is it's talking about that generation. It's talking about the tranquility that the destroyers of the temple had. It's talking about that which God is about to change, and God's about to take them down. And another understanding is that it's talking about all future generations. Each horse had each horse and rider had their period in time that they were supposed to travel in, and they came back and they said, this is what we've seen. We've seen nations sitting in tranquility, not your chosen people, but the other nations all seem to be living in tranquility. And again, the message here is that God has a plan, and when the time will come, God's going to do an accounting and take them to task. Vayan malach Adonai, vayomar Adonai tzevaot, ad matai, ata lo terachem et Yerushalayim, ve'et arei Yehuda. And so the angel, the head angel, that angel who's showing the vision, he calls out in response to this vision. He says, Hashem, who controls the armies of the world, Hashem Tzvakot, till when will you withhold your mercy from Jerusalem and the cities of Judea? Asher za'amta ze shiv'im shana. It's been 70 years that you've been angry and left your temple in ruins. So, how long are you going to let this go on? Bayan Adonai et hamalach hadover bi devarim tovim devarim nichumim. And so Hashem answers the angel, and Hashem tells him good words, words of comfort. And those are the words that we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, learn next week, that the angel will tell him to publicize and tell everyone how God will rebuild the temple and how God is going to take an accounting with the nations over what they've done to us.